Hey everyone, this is Jessica Nevins, and this is the Divine It Girl Radio Show, and this is a special holiday show. It is December 24th today, and even though we're recording this a little early, because we are, you know, doing the family thing on the holidays, we still wanted to bring you a show, and today I'm so excited because I have a guest co-host with me, and I've brought the lovely Julia Thornton back. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Jessica. Hi, everyone. I'm giggling.
She's giggling.
I'm all giggly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're excited to have you here, as always, on this show. And this is a time of year when people can get really harried and really caught up in just all the stress now that, you know, this is airing on the 24th, obviously. So most of the people, at least I hope, have gotten their shopping done.
The panic's over and they're gathered safely in and they've battened down the hatches for at least 24 hours, hopefully.
Exactly, hopefully. Unless you're one of those, you know, I'm going to shop on Christmas Eve shoppers, and they are out there, and God bless you if you're one of those.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, today what we wanted to touch on, because, you know, since it is this time of year, and also, you know, people with their families, some people, you know, don't have good relationships with their family, so it can be a little stressful as well. So we wanted to look at, instead of, you know, you hear this time of year, you hear constantly, it's better to give than to receive, or give this gift, or give. It's like this constant, you know, you're getting berated with the message of give. However, you don't hear a lot of people saying, you know, take the time to receive. Take the time for you. Take the time to recharge your batteries, because God knows we all get a little fried at this time of year, and there's such a frenetic pace.
It's interesting.
World isn't frenetic enough, you know?
Yeah, I know. And I have to say, I think a lot of people at this time of year do feel like after Christmas they need a holiday.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, because they're just having to organize. And for those families out there that, you know, there's more and more of us now, there's sort of several families that have to be visited on that one day.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up just doing completely splitting your day, traveling around with children and visiting in-laws or outlaws, as my mother calls them. and, you know, you do like umpteen Christmas dinners, and or you're the one preparing the dinner and you've got people coming and going at different times of the day. And, you know, it's potentially an extremely stressful time of year, and we're all under severe pressure to be happy. It's a happy,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's that phrase that just keeps coming up, and it's not as easy as it might sound.
No.
But you're absolutely right. That phrase that you brought up, Jessica, I was just thinking, it's better to give than to receive. I know that there's wisdom in that, because there is this thing of like, I have this more as I'm getting older, that when I give something to someone, I love to be there when they open it. I know I can't always be, but I love to see how people react. But if I know that I've got them something that they really want, you know,
mm-hmm.
that is almost receiving something from giving. I get that that's kind of a buzz that I get from actually giving, but
absolutely,
it's better to give than receive. That's a sort of a misnomer. That the two halves of the same equation, or they should be. They should be balanced, which was something we were discussing before we went on the air with this, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The idea that there
isn't
balance for most of us.
There is an imbalance, and that's why this show is really about the art of receiving and receiving with an open heart, because with this season, we're so focused on, you know, what can I give, or give, instead of how can I be a better receiver? And I think a lot of women struggle with this, specifically women. How can I be a better receiver? You know, someone pays us a compliment, and Julia and I were talking about this before we went on the air, is that, you know, sometimes it's really easy for me, and I can genuinely, you know, look them in the eye and say, thank you. But other times, especially if it's something that really, you know, gets me in my heart, it's like, okay. I find myself almost backing away from the compliment, and I was like, well, why am I doing that?
Yeah,
well, it's because we're so conditioned to, you know, it's like almost like we've been beat down with, you don't want to be arrogant, you don't want to be so full of yourself, you don't want to, but no, it's not that at all. It's love yourself and let people love you. And let
also
them shower you with praise if they want to shower you with praise, you know?
I think it's also that thing of like, you know, I mean, interestingly, I've been in the music profession for some time now, and, you know, I honed my skills many, you know, a few decades ago. But so I have this thing now where people, when people see me on stage for the first time, you know, and I play a harp, so it can look very ethereal, and people completely get lost and swept up in the sound of it. And
you look like an angel incarnate.
There is that. There is that. Then they meet me, and then I open my mouth, and it's all over, and they lose their chat. And they go, oh, my God. But no, seriously. this idea that I take for granted something that I've done for most of my life. And so when people come up to me and genuinely give me a compliment and say, you just blew me away, it's so easy for me to just be very dismissive of that because I'm so used to that part of myself. But it's actually, it's a practice of mindfulness to really receive compliments about things that you just take for granted about yourself. It's not even just about things that you don't see. I mean, maybe you don't see them because you used to see them and you just don't see them anymore. Because, you know, our level of self-worth can fluctuate dramatically through the course of our lives. And we have periods of very low self-esteem, and particularly as women, I think, but men too, and periods where, and most of us, of course, judge our self-esteem or we tend to measure ourselves through the external rather than what's going on internally, unless we regularly have some sort of spiritual practice where we connect to a higher power, which feeds us that sort of, there's a constant within us which isn't so affected by that around us. And then we develop that sense of self-belief, self-worth, and that all that stuff makes it harder or easier if you practice regularly to receive just the simplest of compliments. I had an experience just 2 days ago, and I went to see a woman who was involved when I got married earlier this year, and she's such a beautiful spiritual lady, and I literally was just, it was a flyby, drop off the card, drop off a little gift, but my timing, it was sort of divine timing. I literally arrived in her office, and we talked for we can never talk for 5 minutes, so we probably talked for about an hour, and it's like going into a weird kind of time zone that doesn't, you know, where other people don't exist. It's one of those relationships. Mm-hmm. And she had something she was going to do that evening, which she was sort of fearful about, with a relative. She was, you know, she had some boundary issues. And when I stood up to go, she said, not only was your timing perfect, but the gift you gave me, I actually gave her a tiny piece of labradorite, which is a stone, which is to do with protection.
I love that.
And
stone.
She said, yeah, me too. It's one of my favorites. And she basically said, your gift was perfect. I'm going to be holding this in my hand tonight when I speak with, you know, this person I have to deal with. And she said, she looked in my eyes and she said, you know, you are a healer. You have this ability. You made me feel so much better and stronger. Thank you. And I was really present with it. To start with, I kind of diverted my attention, but then I came back to it, and I was very conscious and mindful of saying, I looked into her eyes, and I said, thank you. And I didn't do that thing of like, well, so are you. You know, often we do that.
Right.
As what we do. Oh,
yes.
Well, that's you too, you know, which is a way of not completely absorbing what's just been said to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's a compliment or an acknowledgement. I'm very guilty of that. I have to be. Every time it comes up, I have to be present and I have to make that choice. And I think the more we do that, the better we get at it, so that eventually it becomes an instinctive thing. We don't have to be so mindful about it, but it's not a bad thing to be mindful about those kinds of things or to have to work at them initially. I think it makes the reception all the more powerful. I don't know about you. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think that the person that's on the receiving end, it's, you know, I'm going to go back to what you stated a little earlier, which was so perfect for where we are now in the conversation, is you stated when you give someone a gift and you see their reaction and their joy in receiving that gift, that it kind of gives you a nice little kickback. You know, you're like, oh,
yeah.
Yay, you know, like it, my, you know, selecting this out for this person. I was so excited to select it out, and now I'm getting, you know, to experience their joy. I think that when we don't receive someone's compliment or their gift properly, and what I mean by properly is what you were saying, being mindful and really opening our heart space to take that gift in whatever form it is, when we don't really absorb it, we're actually doing the giver a disservice because we're robbing them of the joy of giving us that gift, whatever it may be, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So
that's
it's
very
really important. It's really important to not just say thank you flippantly, not to just back away from it, but actually to take a moment like you did with this woman. You took a moment and you got mindful and you went into your heart space and you said thank you. She felt that.
She really did.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. We were both very present at the time, and it was a really lovely moment. It was, you know, like those moments are, there was a real connection there, and it was all the better and all the more potent for both of us because I was able to really take to heart. And I think that's the key, what you're saying about this idea, this what we're talking about, receiving with an open heart. It's, it just comes back to this idea of being very present and being very emotionally open to what is being given, to that process of absorbing that in sort of in a very open emotional state. And that makes it all the more, as you say, I don't know if the word healthy is right, but, you know, for the giver, the person actually giving the gift, they get that kick that you can only really get when someone really receives something 100%.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, what's interesting is what you're just saying here. I just got this image in my head. And it was a video that I had seen before, but Julia showed it to me again. This was a few months back when I was over at her place. And there's this video out there by HeartMath about how when you can get into your heart space, you can really connect deeply with another person. And not only are you connecting on a heart level with that person, but it's actually raising the consciousness of the planet. So from a vibrational level, if we're just looking at energy, actually when you take a minute to be more mindful in your receiving and also in your giving, but we're talking about receiving here primarily, when you get more mindful about receiving whatever it is, you actually connect into a deeper consciousness. And if you're in appreciation of that gift, that goes into gratitude, which is a very high vibration type of energy, which actually, since we're all, you know, consciously and subconsciously connected, you're actually raising the vibration in that moment. The moment you can be more grateful in a mindful moment of receiving, you're actually affecting everyone.
Yeah, which ties into this whole idea of having some kind of regular spiritual practice, even if it's simply just trying to be in a state of gratitude for most of the day, or having a kind of internal dialogue with the divine or whatever you want to call that source, that universal energy. Just by doing this kind of work, are we raising the vibration gradually, one by one? And that, because we are essentially all connected through this universal energy field, that affects all of us, every single being on the planet, everything that is in a state of vibration, which is, of course, everything, even this chair sitting next to me on the floor. I can send the chair love, and the chair will send love back to me. The chair will receive, and I will receive.
Right.
You know, I had an interesting moment earlier today where I was on a Christmas tree lot, and I suddenly felt overwhelmed by all these trees that were sort of homeless. I just had this really strong feeling. Yeah, I got incredibly emotional. And I said, I'm not sure I want a tree, because we're going away in a couple of days, that we're going to leave for a week, come home, and then throw out. I said, I can't do that to this tree. And they were all talking to me, and they were all saying, take me home. And I was sending them all love, and I could very definitely feel them sending love back to me. this may sound crazy to some of you listeners out there, but you can send love to, and you can send love to a room, and the room will receive that love. You know, sometimes when you're standing in a room that just feels off, just send the room love. Just radiate love, as a friend of mine said the other day. She said, I've been practicing radiating love, and she said, I get so many people smiling at me on the subway, and she's in New York, where less people smile than they do here.
Yes.
You know, people smile a lot in LA, but in New York, not such the same kind of consciousness. And she said, even if my smile doesn't start very big to start with, these people smile at me because I'm just saying to myself, I'm radiating love. And the video that you reminded me of, Jess, which I absolutely love, this idea that we have this, they call it the torso, I think, but it's not spelt the torus. Yes, it's the torus, T-O-R-U-S, of the heart. And it's an energy, it's a magnetic energy field that expands outwards away from us, right around the heart center.
Mm-hmm.
And it can become so strong that it surrounds the whole body. And, of course, when your heart center is in contact with another person, sort of the torus, heart torus, you both sort of vibrate that energy together. And something else I wanted to touch on is this idea of just receiving, even receiving comfort from someone when you're struggling with something. Something I find difficult at times. I have this sense that I need to do things on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have this sense of possibly an element of, I should have got that right. So if I didn't, then there must be something that I didn't do right. And I go into a place of self-blame. And I can shut down. And I can shut down from someone wanting to comfort me. So this is an old childhood pattern that I've carried with me into adulthood. And I'm very conscious of adulthood. And I'm very conscious now that I want to shed that pattern. But it's very hard to do sometimes because I go to this place of shame. And the child just shuts down, and she doesn't want to let anyone in. It's almost as if she doesn't feel she deserves the support or the comfort. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if that's ever happened to
anyone.
Oh, I know
exactly what you mean, because I think we share that. Julia
yeah,
and
I think we do
in a lot of ways mirror a lot of things with each other. So.
Yeah, we have similar certain dynamics that were played out as we were growing up, but we've definitely come to realize we're quite similar.
Yes.
So this may resonate for some of the listeners out there, this idea that we go to a place of, I didn't get that right, I'm responsible, but instead of doing what we're taught to practice spiritually, which is, okay, we forgive those around us, but we also turn that forgiveness inwards, and we're very compassionate and kind with ourselves when we act out. I have a tendency to forget that part sometimes, and I go into a place of self-punishment, and I can shut down. So someone will literally be trying to put their arm around me, and I will be not able to receive it. I will close off. And it's, I think maybe at one point in my childhood it protected me, but it doesn't serve me anymore. But boy, is it hard to, just, you know, the pattern stuck.
Yes.
And that in itself is another example of an inability to receive. Many people, I think, particularly people who feel they give too much, have this sense that, you know, they can't rely on, they can't lean on someone else. They are the one that everybody leans on. And so they're not used to it happening the other way around. They have to really, again, it's all about mindfulness, stepping into a different place and consciously being able to surrender yourself to allowing someone else to take the load perhaps at some time, or to help you in some way, if it's being offered, to actually receive it.
Yes, that's true. And it can be a very vulnerable space for that person because, you know, earlier this week I was going through something personal and I was really not in a very happy place. And I was texting back and forth with Julia, actually. And then I sent off a text, and you know, for me, texting is a nice way to hide. Because then I don't, you know, you can't, it's sometimes hard to read emotions on a text, and it's like, you know, then it's not as vulnerable, right? But then I sent this one text, and she called me, and I was like, well, she knows I'm here. I can't just ignore the call.
Yeah.
I picked up, and the minute I heard her voice, I just start, like, bawling, like, a child, like a little girl, just like, wah, like I lost it.
Yeah,
and she did. She was so comforting. But I had that same thing that you did, where I was like, is it okay for me to receive this? I feel weird receiving this because I feel like,
yeah,
it's almost like the don't cry over spilt milk thing, and it's like I feel like I've spilt too much milk and gotten in trouble for it every time. So now when I spill some milk, I feel like I can't express myself because I'll get in trouble. So
you go to a place of like, I really shouldn't be expressing this. I shouldn't allow myself to be feeling this vulnerable or this weak.
Right.
Because on some level you feel like maybe it's your fault in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very much a childhood resonance. We may not necessarily know exactly where it originated, because it may have come when we were so young.
Yeah.
And it may have been on a very subtle level. But, you know, as children and as babies coming into the world, when we come into the world initially, we are really just vibrational. We're not
mm-hmm.
cognitive. There's no mental body.
Mm-mm.
That hasn't been established. We're barely just in a physical body, and we don't have any control over that physical body. We're not even emoting. We're just a vibrational ball of energy,
yep.
experiencing something extremely traumatic. So, you know, from any point, I mean, I believe it goes into gestation as well, and possibly further back than that. But depending on what your beliefs are around how we incarnate or whether we reincarnate and all that stuff, this stuff goes back. It goes back. You can take it back to the beginning of this life, or you can take it even further back, and you can say that some of it's generational too. We hold patterns that were in our lineage. Some of this stuff,
right.
You know, they talk about how we can carry the attributes of physical disease, so that, you know, say Jessica or I have a propensity to develop a certain condition because it's in our DNA. We're now starting to realize and starting to be able to prove on a scientific level that we also carry emotional attributes in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So this stuff can be very hard to shake. But, I mean, the interesting thing about that incident was I completely picked up, even though text can be hard to read, I think if you have a connection with someone,
yeah.
as we do, you can feel through a text message if they're really struggling.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sort of healing part in me, the healer in me, knew to pick up the phone, and all I had to say was, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what I meant by that was, it's okay to just be where you are, which gave you permission. Because sometimes
yes.
someone else has to give us permission. It's weird.
It is weird, and I agree because that made it very easy for me to just, I didn't have to be any certain way. I just had to be, and then I was able to work through the emotion. And when you're able to work through the emotion, it actually, by working through it, you're able to release it effectively, not in an unhealthy way, but in a healthy way. So that was a gift for me. But I felt really vulnerable in the moment, and I knew it was a gift. But it's like at the same time, I was like, how do I receive this? This is foreign for me, you know. And also, I think what has also been coming up a lot for me is that I adopted this archetype when I was a little girl. Okay, now I grew up in the era of Wonder Woman being popular. And the Bionic
Woman. I love Wonder Woman. Yeah.
And the Bionic Woman and Charlie's Angels. And so all these quote-unquote empowered women, right?
Mm,
well,
yeah.
Empowered women back then still were taking on very masculine type of roles and just dressing it up in a female look. So I took on this archetype of Superwoman. You know, this I am Wonder Woman. In fact, I have a Wonder Woman glass that I got when I was really little. I still have it. And for many years, it was like my go-to glass. Like, no one could drink out of it. Like, now I have it
was your glass.
Away. Yeah. I have it stored away because I remember at one point, and this was recently, this was like in the last year, I was drinking out of it, and I looked at it, and I stared at it. I'm like, well, this is part of the problem right here.
Oh.
Is that I think I can save the world. And so what that ends up doing is it puts all of that weight on me. So when something comes up, it makes it harder for me to ask for help.
Yeah.
So I purposely took that glass and I stored it so that I could step into who I'm really supposed to be, which is, you know, in my feminine energy and being willing to open my arms and receive.
Yeah, and that means
which
also the ability to be truly vulnerable at times.
Exactly, because when you're in that Wonder Woman state, like things, you know, bounce off you. Like you're like, oh, I don't need help, I got this. And no, you know, you don't always have it. It's nice for people to
comes and goes.
Say, right, it's nice to have support with people saying, you've got this, yeah. But there are times when I just don't know. And I've learned to get okay with not knowing. But, like, seriously, a few years ago, I wasn't okay with that. Like, a few years ago, it's like I would stay up all night researching something until I had a cold. I didn't know, and things like that.
Sort of have an element of control over the situation by doing the maximum amount of sort of knowledge seeking, if you like. And we all know what it's like to try and get information. I think it's almost getting harder for many of us, particularly people who are coming into some of their gifts. The left brain, this is my personal journey, and I know other people I've spoken to as well, my left brain is definitely suffering these days because, you know, the cognitive side of my brain, it's just certain things I'm not able, it's like I can't imagine being able to study for a written paper right now in my life. I don't know how I did it in the past. There's just certain things. I can't even remember a sentence that my husband said a minute ago. Sometimes he'll look at me and he'll say, what did I just say? And I'll say, don't test me because I can't repeat it. Okay? I'm sorry. Hold up my hand.
I'm sure he loves that.
he's ceased being offended by it, thankfully, because he knows that it's not personal. It's not that I don't retain what he says. I don't retain what most people say. And it's almost like, the right side of my brain is getting so much downloading and so much information about other things that are coming into my life and coming into my physical body. The left brain, is something's got to give, you know?
Yeah.
Something's got to give. So this logical thing, and I was very much like you. I was one of these people that I didn't trust the process of just putting something out there, whether it was setting an intention or asking a question. And it wasn't until I started doing some research into this, and one particular book I read had a section which was about this idea of the question being the cause and the answer being the effect. So they're already intimately related. And you can look at giving and receiving in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Giving is the cause and receiving is the effect. They're already intimately related. One is part of the other. And one, in a sense, guarantees the other. But you see, it's this idea of being able to let the question go out there and not trying to control the answer or trying to over-research. Because, you know, information absorbing is one thing, but true assimilation and knowledge comes from insight. And then eventually that will, you know, transform into maybe wisdom, which is something that you can't necessarily get from reading a book about stuff. It's mastery in the world, and it's often experiential. You'll read about something, it'll be in your consciousness, and then you'll go out and there will be a situation which will demonstrate to you perfectly what it is that you've just been putting your curiosity feelers out there for. It's suddenly in the ether and you're seeing it everywhere, so you begin to get this experiential understanding of it, and that's thankfully better than being able to absorb information. Things, which I just can't do anymore for some reason. I try every now and again, but it seems to be getting harder and harder to do. But that controlling person who's like, I can't leave this to chance. I'm totally with you there. That was me for a very long time.
That was me for a very long time too, and it's really been a journey in the last few years to shed that. And it's funny because Julia and I were talking about this a little earlier, before we got on the air, about how both of us in our past, you know, the way we were brought up, what we were doing as we were brought up, you know, in our schooling and whatnot, how we had these very structured lives. And things were all, you know, in a container. And what I realized, and through talking to another friend of mine who I'm hoping to bring on the show in January, and just a little segue real quick, we'll get back onto the subject in just a second, but I just want to let the audience know that the format of the show is changing in January, and I'm going to a 30-minute podcast every week. So you will get a show every week. However, it's going to be in a podcast format, so it's just going to show up in iTunes or it's just going to show up on Blog Talk, and you'll be able to access it. And if you are part and a fan on the Facebook page, then you'll know when those are going up. So anyway, enough said there.
I love it. I love it.
But she and I were talking about how people learn, because she's doing this, she's getting working on her PhD right now, and she's doing all this amazing research on organizational leadership, especially with women. And she's also looking at the ways people learn and how the education system has kept a lot of people in a box and it doesn't serve them. And what I realized is that I've been in this box all my life, in this box that I had to, quote-unquote, conform to. Unfortunately, the box didn't really serve me well. And she and I, it kind of like the light bulb was going on when I was talking to her, because I realized for the most part, because she and I share this, is that I'm a very kinesthetic learner. But
right.
The school system really...
school system doesn't allow for that, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Not really.
And she said, you know, you can have other modalities that you can learn through too. And she goes, but you always have a dominant one. And I said, exactly. I said, so my secondary was auditory. So
right.
That got me through pretty well. But the thing is, I had trouble being in class, and I really found this out in college. That's where, because in college you don't have the rules, so I wasn't, because I was like the good girl in high school. I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want to get kicked out or anything, so I'd play by their rules. But in college, I didn't have to show up for class if I didn't want to, so I didn't. But then I had, you know, horrible grades for my first few terms, and I was like, oh, well, this isn't working. But I had a hard time sitting still. I had a hard time sitting there and taking in this information. It just was not clicking. But if I was studying for a test, however, and you're going to laugh at this, is that when I was in college, I was managing bands. So at night when they had shows, if I had a test the next morning, I would literally take my notes with me, and while the band was up on stage, I'd go and I'd sit with the sound engineer, and I'd borrow his tiny little mag light to look at my notes. So what I'd
be doing... So you kind of cram the night before.
Right. So I'd be standing there with my notes and this mag light, and I'd be moving. I'd be dancing to the music, and everything would download in, and I would ace the next day. But I was moving.
So do you think, exactly. You were moving. So your body was physically moving.
Exactly.
To the music.
So I was like, I didn't put the pieces together until I talked to my friend the other day. But we were saying that this goes back to thinking, you know, that there's something wrong because we're not conforming. And then it kind of cuts us off from, well, if there's something wrong, then I'm not good enough to receive certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So you start.
Yeah, there's so many areas of our life. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the
so many areas of our life where we.
You're transmitting
exactly.
This energy of I'm not worthy to receive this. So what happens is you start attracting scenarios and people that will mirror that for you, and then once you get to the point where you realize you're doing that and you start to course correct. And people do start giving to you, and you're like, what? It's just like,
yeah, you almost don't trust
jarring,
them.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's multi-layered. I mean, we're using this as a sort of metaphor, if you like, around the idea of Christmas and present giving, but this is another thing that we were talking about before we actually went on air with this. It's this idea that you can, if you're a giving person, your giving is directly in balance with the amount that you will receive.
Yes.
So whatever it is you're giving, it's going to come back to you. It's almost like a pair of scales. There's a balance to it. But you have to be not only open to it, but the idea that this giving isn't necessarily going to come back to you from the same source. It's going to come back in other areas of your life, perhaps, in the form of, I don't know, it can be anything. It
can be anything, that's true.
Yeah. And this idea that, you know, receiving abundance, you know, and abundance is a word that we use more and more now because it doesn't just apply to prosperity, which always, when people say the word prosperity, lots of people tend to think of a financial gain.
Yes.
And, of course, receiving comes to us not just through money, but through, like we've been talking about, this ability to receive emotional support from friends when we're in trouble or just from partners day to day. I mean, this is something I had to adjust to with my husband when we first met. I had been by myself for 6.5 years. And before that, I was in 2 relationships over a sort of a 7-year period back to back that were quite emotionally abusive. They were perfect soulmates in many respects because what they did was they threw up a mirror to me with their narcissistic behavior of something I needed to deal with myself regarding my, you know, my upbringing. But I didn't see that at the time. I was very much asleep at the time. So having had these needy people, anyone who's ever done this kind of dance with a narcissistic personality knows that they are the neediest people on the planet. And
yes.
There's just no way around that.
you know that.
Yeah. And, you know, we as a society are kind of cultivating narcissistic tendencies. I mean, social media, things like Facebook are all about announcing what people are doing, people taking pictures of themselves in various locations. And it's very much cultivating that sense of self, you know, that small s self, the separation that we feel and comparison. But, you know, I had this period of time where I dealt with these people, then I was by myself, and then somebody came into my life who was giving. And I had severe trouble trusting this and opening myself to it. So I think sometimes it's our inability to receive on an emotional level can be not just that we don't think we're worthy of it, but we're not sure we can trust it.
Yes.
You know, and it took me probably a good 6 months before I really completely sort of relaxed my muscle body and was like, okay. Because, you know, the child in you will need to see consistency with something like that because I was so used to people being inconsistent.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I can't trust this. But if someone just repeatedly demonstrates consistent ability to support you emotionally, it's like, oh, okay, the child slowly starts to come around, but it takes time and it takes being mindful when it's happening. You know, that come back to that word mindfulness again.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that really being present when someone acknowledges you for something or pays you a compliment or puts their arm around you when you feel like you don't deserve it kind of thing on some childlike level. You know, so, well, you don't really, you know, if someone wants to comfort you, there's a reason for that. In most cases, and
yes.
I'd like to think that it's pretty healthy, that perhaps you need that comfort, and it's hard to receive it sometimes. It takes time and practice and that mindful element, I think, very much.
I think so, too, and I love what you just shared, because it seems that, and I've read so many articles on this, that there's this, like they always talk about, as far as learnings go, the perfect match is a narcissist and an empath.
Yeah, oh my God, it's so true.
Learning.
Well, it's almost like they're two halves.
Too, so.
They're two halves of the same equation, and in a sense, they have the same wounds. It's just that they basically display them in a different way.
Yes.
Narcissists kind of overtly project them onto the empath, and the empath tries to absorb them. Because ultimately there are, you know, and in my case, there was a codependency. I was looking for something that I needed, that I could, that I didn't believe I could find in myself. And this person just kept not delivering time and time again. And they were just reflecting something that was in me. It was just we were both expressing in completely different ways, almost the opposite.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating thing. And I think that's one of the reasons that empaths and narcissists, you know, there's many, many examples of it in this world. I mean, if you're an empath and you're sitting there listening to this and thinking, I'm always attracting narcissists into my life, or just people who are self-absorbed, you know, they can be, they don't necessarily have to be textbook narcissists.
Right.
There are lots of, and there are lots of varying degrees of narcissism. Let's face it, we all have to have some element of this to feel that separation. I mean, this is ego, which is something we come into the – ego helps us survive in a world where we – you know, and this is something that we're hopefully eventually going to transcend, this idea of duality, this idea of separation. But in order to do that, the ego has to die completely, which is not – they don't want to die without a fight.
No.
and the narcissist really – they really – they're very powerful teachers, actually.
They are. They are very
kind of tyrannical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tyrant teachers. They bash you over the head with a big mallet till you get the lesson.
Exactly.
But
like, wake up!
But for me, it was really that thing of like, wow, I now got someone in my life who, can I trust this? Can I actually receive this much love and this much goodness? It was amazing to me that I had trouble feeling worthy of it, I think, and trusting it. It was such a new dynamic. So again, it's just being aware of, maybe that's where you're coming from to some extent. Those of you who feel that you're not good at receiving, it's a practice thing, like anything, I think.
It is a practice thing, and I think that, you know, maybe turning inward and doing some exploration as to why this pattern keeps on showing up. Because, like, you know, we both shared with you, Julia and I went inward and figured out that this, for both of us, happened, you know, to stem in our childhood. And we're like, oh, okay. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think when you get, when you're able to understand the root of the situation, it makes it a little easier for you to work with the root to heal it. Rather than, you know, it's like thinking about a document on your hard drive of your computer. You can either, you know, like have the document up and try and change things with whiteout on your screen, which is not going to do anything. That's like trying to put a Band-Aid on something. Or you can delete the file, put it in your trash, and delete the trash on your hard drive. And then it's been eliminated. However, you know, there's still, as we all know, there are still little, you know, residue on the hard drive, which even when you eliminate something, sometimes there's still some energetic residue that'll come up for you to clear.
Yeah, every now and then you might find that it comes back and bites you on the bum, as I say, when you're not looking, when you think, you know, we've all had those instances where you just think, I thought I dealt with this. Why is this back?
Yeah. Exactly, and it's not anything bad. It's not anything wrong that you did. It's just that, you know, it keeps coming up until it's completely gone. And sometimes things are so deeply rooted that it takes some time to shift the energy out, and that can take, you know, years. It can be a process. But the thing is, if you can get really mindful to, you know, think, why do I have trouble receiving, or why am I trying to control what I receive
everything,
then it will start to open up some avenues. You know, even if you just ask that question in, you know, to your higher power or to Source or to God or whoever it is that you commune with and say, why is this happening? If you open yourself up to an answer, you will get it. It might not be the answer you want. So just know that, and here's, since we're talking about giving and receiving, you know, the universe is abundant. So anything you want, you can ask for it. The thing is, you might not get it when you want, and you might not get it in the form that you think you want.
Yeah,
which
that's
can
so
be
true.
Really interesting, but I found that, and this is my own personal belief, that I always get what I need.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't necessarily get what you want, but you get what you need. And they don't often align like the way you think they might. Because ultimately, the source, the maker, our creator, knows us better than we think we know ourselves. We have a very narrow perspective. And most of us go through our entire lives with key perspectives that were gifted to us by our early childhood, and we're not even aware that they're limiting. You know, those of us who actually wake up to some of this stuff realize that we potentially open Pandora's box, but hey, you know, you've got to start somewhere with this stuff. So initially, it's a journey into, potentially it's a journey into trauma and a journey. When I first started waking up, the first thing I was aware of was discomfort, and, you know, I was very much awake to my emotional pain body, as, you know, some people call it. This is a sign very much that you are alive again, thank you, which is a good thing, but it's incredibly uncomfortable. But this discomfort is, it's a messenger. It's basically trying to tell you something about you need to attend to this, you know, like people gradually becoming more and more sick. And the body starts off whispering quietly, but most of us don't actually pay attention until it starts screaming. And by then, there's multiple systems that have gone into compensation mode. So it's almost a case of peeling off the layers. And, you know, I always remind myself if I'm going through, I try to anyway, remind myself if I'm going through something and I feel like I dealt with it and, you know, why is this coming up again? I say to myself, you know, look, I went through practically 40 years of my life in this state, in this sort of dream state, with these narrow perspectives that were gifted to me, for very good reason, I might add. You know, they're kind of tailor-made for me, these issues. I don't think I'd want anyone else's issues. I think they're perfect for whatever it is in this life I'm meant to deal with. But then if I've had them for 40-odd years, 39 or 40-odd years, they're not going to go away overnight. They come off in layers. The stuff peels away. And I think, honestly, if it all came off at once, we'd probably just implode. Our bodies and our energy bodies just would not be able to handle the impact of that release. So it's a gradual opening and unfolding, and it's a constant kind of work. We're all works in progress in that respect. Although it's hard.
Well, that's the beauty of it. You know?
Yeah.
That is the beauty of it, is that we're all works in progress. You know, none of us are perfect. And I know that, and I think, Julia, you and I have talked about this before, is having that kind of lifestyle, you know, and growing up, this is how it was, of me just being the perfect child, the perfect girlfriend, the perfect, you know, the perfect daughter, the, you know, just, oh my gosh, just the strive for perfection was insanity. And it didn't help me. I was very miserable. And once again, going back to that analogy of the whole, you know, kinesthetic learner thing, what I realized is what I had been, since I had gotten into this archetype of control, the whole Wonder Woman thing, what that did is it kind of suppressed my soul, in that what I've realized in becoming the real me and letting my soul truly express itself is that I'm a very spontaneous person, and that actually makes me quite happy. And Julia and I talked about this a little bit before we went on the air, and this show is not run in any kind of structure format. Yes, we have, you know, we're going to do an hour-long show. Yes, it's going to air at this time, and this is the title of the show. But aside from that, we have no idea what we're going to create for you. We just flow with it. You know, we get into the energy of the show, and we just, you know, we just let ourselves be guided, and we trust. Because we know we're going to receive whatever's needed, not only for us to produce this show, but it's mainly for you, the listener. Because whoever listens to this show, there might be one thing that either Julia says or that I say that you need. And so we don't attempt to control that. We just get into flow with it and see what comes forth. And then...
Yeah.
It just comes out, and for me personally, I love the spontaneity of that, because I can feel like my soul is like, yay, finally, I'm getting to do what I'm meant to do, you know?
All too often, we just constrict ourselves and put ourselves in these very narrow containers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is partly conditioning and these perspectives that we were all given as youngsters. It's partly these coping mechanisms that we develop, like, you know, Jessica's talking about the very type A child. I mean, for me, the business of trying to be as perfect as possible was some form of protective mechanism. Like, if I could be as faultless as possible, there would be less likelihood that anyone would pin anything on me. So this was a dynamic that I thought somehow made me safe. So my, you know, an ego is ultimately, at the end of the day, when we get frustrated with them, the thing to remind ourselves is that they think they're protecting us. They think that they're keeping us safe. They think that if you stay behind that white picket fence and, you know, you stay in that, whatever that job is that you don't particularly like, but, you know, makes you enough money to survive and support your family, rather than going off and joining the, you know, San Francisco ballet troupe or whatever, or whatever it is that you feel that yours would make your soul sing, you know, it's just, we think it's keeping us safe. It's genuinely saying, well, that you'd be crazy to do that. You know, or it might be a little bit more aggressive than that. And say, what the hell do you think you're doing? Or what makes you think you could do that? It may dress you down. But it's that internal voice that has this myriad of different approaches. And for most of us, it's different at different times. And it's very elusive. It hides. It gets spiritual teachers, too. You know, I mean, there's this whole thing very much where somebody gets to sort of guru status, and some people, and these people believe their own hype. The ego will literally sneak in that back door and make them feel like they're totally, there's no one like, no, I mean, obviously there is no one like them, but in the wrong sense of the word, that no one can replace them, that they are, you know, the idea of a guru, somebody needs to be aware that everybody is unique.
Yes.
And to be in that position, not to abuse that power that they may have or that influence that they may have over other people, and just constantly be mindful and be transparent, you know, and be authentic, which is something that Jessica and I really aspire to be 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
No.
Because we were constantly placing ourselves in this vulnerable place. And it takes balls, for want of a better word.
Yes, it does. Well, it does. And the thing is, what I really want everyone to understand is that we all have the capacity to receive from Source. And by that I mean, you know, as far as aligning with our divine purpose, we all have certain, you know, containers, meaning that we are pulled in one direction or another, and that's for a reason. I mean, Julia is classically trained, so she went through all these years of being classically trained, and she plays beautifully, but the thing is, in one moment, she can get fully into a spontaneous moment and play something beautifully just off the cuff, And for me, it's I can burst into choreography off the cuff. But had I not been trained in dance and had many, many years of instruction, my body would look weird, or my body would not know what to do or how to handle the movement. It's just like your fingers would not know where to go on your heart had you not been groomed. So, you know, any speaker out there probably had opportunities to speak throughout their life so that the first time they're put on a big stage, they're not going to choke.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we're all put in these beautiful places of being able to receive. And some of us just really, I know for a long time, I would just shut it down or I'd just push it away. And the more you can push away a gift, I want you to think, you know, back to what we were talking about earlier about giving and receiving. The more someone's trying to give you a gift and the more you push it away, eventually they're not going to try anymore.
Yeah, sending out the wrong message, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Sending out a resounding no rather than a yes.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm here and I'm listening and I'm wanting this. I would like this.
Right.
It's sending out, no.
I mean, they're not
too busy.
Going to they're not going to say to me, you know, I'm not going to receive information in the next 24 hours that says apply to the NASA space program because it's just not meant for me. It's not anything I've ever wanted. I really don't feel like it's in my destiny. It's not something I've ever
wanted. Well, there's the key phrase. You said it's not something I've ever wanted.
Right.
You don't want to receive that. That's not for you. That's not in your dharma, you know, this lovely yogic Sanskrit word, dharma, which really is about, you know, what is your soul purpose? What is your, you know, what is it you're here to do and be in this life? And many people have more than one. I feel very much that I have more than one. I mean, initially it was music.
Yeah,
you have more than one, definitely. So, and I think more and more people are coming into the world with multiple gifts to share, and some of these gifts will be sort of, it's almost like an exponential thing. They'll build on each other. Like my experience on a stage as a musician gives me the ability to be able to be comfortable speaking like I am now. I've always loved talking, but you know, it's different to playing, performing. But you know, more and more I think there are things for me which surrounding my voice.
Yes.
And that's curious because I also had a thyroid condition for many years. It was almost like my throat chakra, this energy center. We all have these various vortexes of energy, which I'm sure most of you know about. And we have one at the throat. And mine was very imbalanced for many years. And I think partly because on an emotional body and energetic body level, I was not speaking my truth. I was not able to express from that true place and made me sick. It's kind of a fascinating story, but this idea that we should try to be open to whatever it is that we're presented with, and life will give you signs as to what it is that you should be open to receiving regarding what it is that you may, especially if you're in that place where a lot of people are right now. It's like, I'm not quite sure what I'm here for. A lot of people are feeling that, this sense of, what's next? You know, I know that perhaps I'm meant to be doing something else, but I'm not sure what it is. I think that it may have something to do with helping other people. But again, I don't know. And we have to trust and be open to receive messages and insight and signs along the way that we're maybe going in the right direction as and when.
Yeah, and you'll know. I mean, I think it's pretty unmistakable when you get, you know, a sign or an inkling. It just has such a positive feeling attached to it that...
It does something in your heart center.
Yeah.
You feel something very powerfully emotionally. It triggers off a sense of emotion that's so overwhelming it can also almost bring you to tears. I think that's how I feel when something resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good sign. It's like Jessica says, it's usually accompanied by a strong feeling. It's definitely a feeling rather than a cognitive, oh yes, that's for me kind of. I mean, it's not
right.
A mental body process. It's you're going to feel it in your body emotionally. It's going to trigger off something.
Exactly. And you know, just be aware of that. And there's so many gifts out there that are for you. It's just a point of opening your arms to receive them in whatever form they come in. And, you know, as we said before, they might not come in a form that you expect. They might not come in a form that, you know, you would particularly choose. But they are there for you. And they're perfect the way they come in. They're usually divinely ordered. At least that's been the experience in recent years, is that they just come in and it's like, wow. And, you know, just as you have had so much appreciation for how your husband came into your life, I've had so much appreciation for how my boyfriend came into my life. Because really, I was not expecting him, and he came in a form that was like, huh? So, you know, once again, it took me a while to come online with that and to be okay with that, and it's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. So as we're, you know, ending this year, you know, yes, we are in the holiday season, but, you know, we're about 6 or 7 days away from the end of the year. Just open yourself up to receive whatever is for you in 2016, because there is an abundance of amazing experiences coming through for you. And as Julia mentioned, I think more and more people are aligning with their gifts and wanting to experience something that really lights them up and something that really rejuvenates and excites their soul. You know, I'm seeing that more and more in my clients, and that's where I do my, you know, igniting their divine spark work, because more and more people are in need of getting aligned with this because they know there's a bigger picture. So if there's anything I can leave you with, and I'm sure Julia will have something awesome to leave you with too, it's open your arms and start opening your heart to receive the good that is there for you, because there is so much good. There is so much good that you can't even conceive of at the moment. And I remember last year at the same time, that's what I did. And literally, I met my boyfriend shortly after the first of the year, the new year. So it, for those of you out there that are single and think you've been single way too long, don't worry. That was our story too, huh, Julia? You were single.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I've been through the whole thing of being desperate to be in a relationship and wanting children. And then, you know, everything passed. And I got to the point where I let it go. I wasn't even consciously letting it go. I mean, that's, again, part of the process is being able to just let these things go.
Yeah.
Ask for what you want and then let it go. That's, you have to release.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like planting a seed. You have to release it. And it's one of the things we talked about the other day on the new moon, setting intentions.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that is one thing that I want to mention before we wrap up the show here, is that, and we haven't done our official launch, we will in the new year, but this is just a sneak preview. Julia and I have put together a spiritual community called the Spiritually Sassy Global Light Community, and you can find us on Facebook. However, it is a secret group, so what we suggest is that you get on our list. And you can do that by going to spirituallysassy.com. You can get on our list, and we will be offering free master classes once a month. And we also have a big community that's building on Facebook, and we would love to have you there. And it's really an open and safe community for you to explore, you know, all things spiritually related. And it's been a very supportive community so far. We haven't, it's growing by leaps and bounds, and we love that.
Yeah.
We love to support everyone that's on there, and we did have a masterclass earlier this month on the new moon, which people loved. So we would love to have you be part of the community too if you feel so called, so spiritually sound.
We would love that. We would love to have you as part of it. We very much feel that it is this safe space for people to explore their spiritual world and their spiritual path. And we talk about things like Dharma and all sorts of elements of this kind of paradigm that we are very much moving into and on the planet at this particular time in our development, in our evolution. But the idea that as human beings we are spiritually evolving, it's a huge part of this, because it can feel like you're kind of going slightly nuts, and you can often feel like there are large elements of your life which don't correlate with where you are anymore, and you can feel somewhat at a loose end, and maybe, I don't know, like if you really talk to certain people in your life about where you are, they would look at you like you were crazy.
Yes.
So we kind of offering a space where that doesn't happen. It's the one to the better way to put it, that you can voice and be vulnerable and be authentically yourself about whatever it is that you feel that your direction, your life is moving in. And you'd be amazed at the number of people who this is happening for. It's you know, we're not a majority, but the more we can do this work that we're doing and move through our lives and our emotional states with consciousness and mindfulness, and do this kind of work, as we call it, because it is work. It takes presence and it takes courage. The more we can do that, the more, as we talked about earlier, we can literally raise the vibration, the frequency of the entire planet and everything, every being on it. And this is really, we're at a kind of pivotal time for this currently. So, and this is going to continue into next year as well. So this stuff is all ongoing. So that's really what this community is about, is to just support that process.
Yes. So please, you know, get on the list, and I will put the link also in the description for this show, for this episode, so that it's, you know, you can click from there, and we would love to have you. If you are friends with me or Julia on Facebook, then you can reach out to us, message us if you want to get into the group, and we can add you personally. But we wanted to share that with you, so because in the new year we are going to be taking this much bigger, and we are looking forward to that. So we want to have as many people that we can help as possible. That's really the objective here, is to continue to raise the vibration and help people, help others in their journey. Because Julia and I have been on this journey for a while, and when we first started our journey, you know, we were on the planetary energy at the time was not what it is now, and, you know, we were kind of running in circles, and there weren't as many people experiencing things as they are now. So we decided collectively that it would be great to offer a supportive community where we could share experience with everyone, and people can share experience with each other so that they know that they're supported in this journey.
Yeah.
Very important. You know, so there once again, it ties in with the theme of the show, is this is our gift to you, and you can receive it if you'd like, and, you know, learn to expand or just be supported. You know, maybe you just need to be supported. Maybe you just need to be in there and just watch what's going on, and that's totally fine. So
yeah.
In this spirit of craziness this time of year, make sure that you're taking time for yourself. I know that, you know, a lot of people get burnt out at this time of year. So just make sure that you're receiving whatever that looks like for you. Just take a moment to receive. You know, even if it's just taking a moment in a seated meditation, or maybe a moving meditation, to just...
Or if a child, you know, if a child offers to make, you know, or a nephew or somebody offers to make you a cup of tea.
Yes.
It's just tiny things. Just
or
be
play.
Open to the idea,
you know,
that,
to get into the element of play is also, you know, where you can receive.
And says, you know, you sit down and I'll do this. You know, take 5 minutes or something with a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a little thing that, you know, it's something to be aware. Often these things start small, and then once we get the hang of acknowledging and recognizing the tiny details and the little miracles that happen, you know, it's the first time your daughter just offers to make you a cup of tea. That's no small miracle.
Right.
Make the most of it.
Exactly.
That's what I say. And then things build from there. But that state of like, oh, yeah, I will do that. Thank you. That's a good place to start from, with the small stuff, and then, you know, work on accepting bigger and bigger gifts in whatever form they may take.
Exactly, and that is a beautiful place to wrap up our show. Thank you to all the listeners out there. You know, whenever you're listening to this, whether it is on the 24th or it's afterward, it's our hope that you're receiving from it. And, you know, we wish you a very happy holiday season.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yes, happy holidays. And this is my last show of the year. I'm actually going to take a little bit of a hiatus. So the shows will be back in January. And once again, like I said before, they will be in a podcast format. So look out for that. And I think that's it. So we're going to wrap up from here. And thank you all for listening. I hope you have a fantastic holiday season and wonderful week or two until we meet again. Thank
in 2016.
Yes, that's right, in 2016. So have a fantastic, happy holiday season. And I wish you all very well, and love and sparkles to all. Bye.